Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Okay, let's see if that's working now. I'm not sure if my audio was coming through initially. But good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rico Muhammad, your gracious host, and Chuck Snow will be joining us here in just a few seconds. Want to send out an apology to all of you guys for the past 2 weeks. We had some technical issues. We tried to have a preloaded show for the past week, and for some reason or another, it didn't upload, and I think Chuck was having some issues last week, so we didn't get a chance to have a show for the past couple of weeks, and we definitely apologize for that. We're going to try to work on getting those issues resolved and making sure that we have some kind of content available for you guys each and every week. But we're here this week, and we're going to try to catch up on the previous couple of weeks of things that we've missed out on over that time frame. Tonight we're going to start out as in our normal fashion. We're going to pick up with the USDA fruit and vegetable truck rate report. And this week, there are no markets that are reporting any types of shortages. We have three markets that are reporting slight shortages that are available. Those three markets are Columbia Basin, Washington, Yakima Valley and Winchie District, Washington, and Central Wisconsin. Those three areas are reporting slight shortages of trucks in those areas. There is one area that is reporting a slight surplus of trucks that are in that market, and that market is South District, California. So for the ones that are showing slight shortages, of course, you know, may be some potential to be had on the spot market there. And the ones that are reporting slight surpluses, well, you know how that the name of the game of supply and demand goes. You want to make sure that you are taking your backhaul with you or you have something already pre-negotiated before you get into those markets in those areas. We will have a link for this posted up for your viewing pleasure on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page before the end of tonight's show. Moving right along, jumping over into this week's DAT Trendlines report for the week of September 23rd through the 29th. Shipping resumed out of the Carolinas last week following the disruption caused by Hurricane Florence, and load-to-truck ratios rose for dry vans, refrigerated freight. Pricing stabilized as well, with the nation's average for dry vans and flatbeds holding steady, while the nation's reefer rate dipped by 1 cent. For the month of September, rates for vans and reefer rates were back to about where they were in May, while flatbed prices continued their seasonal slide. Jumping into a more in-depth portion of this report, we're going to jump over and see how dry vans were performing. The national demand and capacity for dry vans over the past week of September 23rd through the 29th. Van load post increased by 4% on DAT load boards and truck post declined by 3%. That resulted in a 7% increase in the national load to truck ratio, moving up to 7.3 loads per truck. The national average van rate was unchanged. Historically speaking, van load posts were down 4% in September, but truck posts were down 10%. That pushed the van load to truck ratio 7% higher, from 6.7 van loads per truck to 7.1 loads per truck. The September ratio was 8% higher than it was in September of 2017. Let's take a look and see how the rates were performing for dry vans over the previous week. And the national average rate for vans held steady at $2.15 per mile. Demand is building, however, as the national load-to-truck ratio for dry vans increased for the second week in a row. The national average van rate last month was $2.15 per mile, the highest September average ever. Still, it was 16 cents lower than the June peak, which was the highest monthly average ever recorded in trend lines. Compared to the previous year, The September average was 18 cents higher than last September. Also, just a little bit of nugget, the national average diesel price was unchanged. National average diesel fuel price was $3.27 per gallon for this past previous week. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, the spot market coming out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania shows $2.08 per mile. Dropping down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia shows an outbound spot market rate of $2.32 per mile on average. Moving up into the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois showing an average spot market rate of $2.66 per mile. Dropping down into the south central portion of the United States, we have average spot market rates of $1.94 for dry vans. And wrapping up dry van report coming out of the West Coast, showing an average spot market rate out of Los Angeles at $2.59 per mile. Jumping over, moving into the flatbed portion of this report for national flatbed demand and capacity over the previous week of the September 23rd through the 29th. Last week, load posts were down by 1%, and truck posts were also down 1% on DAT load boards. That caused the national load-to-truck ratio to remain at 25.9 loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate also stayed the same. Historically speaking, flatbed load posts dropped 24% in September compared to August, while truck posts fell 15%. That led to an 11% decline in the national flatbed ratio, dropping to 25.4 loads per truck. The September ratio was 39% lower than September 2017. Let's see how the rates were performing for flatbeds over the previous week of September 23rd through the 29th. The national average rate for flatbeds held steady at $2.56 per mile. The national load-to-truck ratio also was unchanged compared to the previous week. Historically speaking, the national average flatbed rate dropped 8 cents in September compared to August, falling to $2.56 per mile. September's flatbed rate was 29 cents higher than in September of 2017. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Harrisburg, Pennsylvania being the representative city, showing an average outbound spot market rate for flatbeds at $3.99 per mile. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Atlanta, Georgia being the representative city, showing outbound spot market rates for flatbeds at $2.95 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois, showing average spot market rates for flatbeds at $3.14 per mile. Dropping down into the south central portion, Houston, Texas checks in, showing average spot market rates for flatbeds at $2.99 per mile. Wrapping up this week's flatbed rate report, coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona being the representative city, showing average spot market rates at $1.95 per mile. And without any further ado, let's jump over into the refrigerated portion of the DAT report for the week of September 23rd through the 29th. Last week, reefer load posts increased 3%, while truck posts declined 2%. That resulted in a 5% increase in the load-to-truck ratio from 8 loads per truck to 8.4 loads per truck. The national average reefer rate declined. Historically speaking, reefer load posts fell 14% in September compared to August, and truck posts fell 6%. That caused the national load-to-truck ratio to drop 8% down to 8.1 loads per truck nationally. The monthly ratio is 32% lower than it was in September of 2017. Taking a look at we're going to jump into the reefer rates over the previous week of September 23rd through the 29th. The national average reefer rate for reefers slipped another 1 cent down to $2.52 per mile on average nationally. While the national load-to-truck ratio showed an increase week over week. Historically speaking, September's national average reefer rate was $2.52 per mile, 3 cents above August's average. Compared to September of 2017, the rate was 28 cents higher, a 13% increase. Taking a look around the country, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Elizabeth, New Jersey being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market reefer rate of $2.41 per mile. Moving down into the southeast portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida being the representative city, reefer outbound rate of $1.45 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin leading the charge for reefers, showing an outbound spot market rate of $3.38 per mile. Dropping down into the south central portion of the United States, McAllen, Texas being that representative city, showing an average outbound spot market reefer rate of $2.13 per mile. And coming out of the west coast, Fresno, California being the representative city, showing an average spot market rate of $2.52 per mile coming out of Fresno. And that, ladies and gentlemen, wraps up this week's DAT Trend Lines report. We will have a copy of this report for your availability on the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. So you can go over there and try to get a copy of that as well. And with that being said, got one more report that I got to read off to you guys, and we're going to have to go back a little bit to make sure we cover everything, and that's the Bad Broker Report. We don't have very many entries, which is a good thing, really a great thing, since the last time we reported on this. But we got about three entries nonetheless. Starting out, iTransport Solutions, LLC. Their MC number is 938-243. FMCSA showed that their surety bond scheduled to cancel on 9-20-2018. Over $134,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. They are an extreme risk. Rapid Worldwide, that MC number is 923-899. FMCSA shows trust fund scheduled to cancel on 10-14-2018. They have over $17,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Direct Express Logistics, Inc., that MC number is 908-309. FMCSA shows surety bond canceled on 5-23-2018. Over $20,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. And that being the what it is, without any further ado, let's go and grab our co-host. And if you guys got any questions or anything that you want to bring to our attention that we may have missed or we may need to be made aware of, please press number one. We always welcome your interaction with us here on the Rates and Lanes podcast. And with that being said, Chuck Snow, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Rico. How are you doing? Long time no speak.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are doing well. We wanted to try to get a report from you. I think the last time we got a chance to talk, you were headed out towards CMC. So we didn't get a report, just how things went out that way. So I guess we might as well catch up on that aspect and on that front. What all happened out at the CMC, and what can you share with us that we may have missed out on if we weren't able to attend?
Well, it was a huge, huge success. It was a lot smaller this year. I don't think they put the effort into promoting it as much because I think they wanted to just keep it more under control. So it was about half the size that it usually is. It was about 150 people, which was an ideal group because if you remember, I think the last time you and I were there together, I think there was about 350 people, and it almost got too big. And even for things like checking all the trucks in the parking lot, it got to be where it was almost insane. And I think a lot more people got a lot more out of it because it was smaller. It was more of an intimate affair. It was really good. They had great speakers. One of the new speakers that was around this year was a gentleman named Noel Perry, and he is a he's an economist, and he specializes in the trucking industry.
Yeah, he's with those guys out of that does that. Man, I forget the name of that firm. I think it's FTR Associates or something like that.
I think you're correct. I think he has.
Yeah, and those guys, now when you talk about research, those guys got some research that is out of this world.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. And certainly he has some dire warnings about, you know, same as I've talked about on the show, but certainly pertaining to this industry, that 2020 could be, you know, could be a fall off year. So, you know, for our listeners out there, if you're thinking of taking on huge debt that you don't have to, you may want to take a second look and really hold off on investing on new equipment if you can fix what you have now and replace it in 2020 or 2021, which comes around really fast, if there's a way of doing it, or not spending as much as you are going to, because, of course, as soon as we have a downturn in the economy, you don't want to be owing $100,000 on a piece of equipment that's now worth $60,000. That puts you in an awful position. So, you know, when you have times when the manufacturers are building trucks and trailers the way they are right now. I was just talking to one of the trailer manufacturers the other day, and they're pretty close to a year out. That's a great sign, but it's not. So, you know, I think the time to get into new equipment sometimes is at the beginning of the cycle, not at the end. And he was one of the new speakers. I got a real opportunity at the CMC this year. Kevin gave me the audience for the entire Monday afternoon, and I had a real treat talking to everybody. Kevin wanted me to tell everyone my life story, which is pretty comical, my life story in trucking anyways, and it's going to be 44 years on Friday that I've been involved in the trucking business, and he wanted me to tell a story starting from my roots, you know, starting with one old Mack truck back in 1974 to today, being the size that we are here at Trafix. So I had to break it into two different speeches, one after the other with 15-minute break. And the second lecture I gave was how to start your own trucking business, which is more interactive, which we draw the audience in and they're able to ask questions on things that we talk about. An awful lot of what we talk about are good business practices. They're the things that we talk about at this show, you know, things about factoring and about doing things right, about having lanes. And I really hammered down about that. And I would think that the vast majority of the 150 people that were attending there, they got it, they understood it. And that's why they take the week off and they spend the money to go there and just to get some finalization of what they're doing to make sure they're doing it right. And they certainly are. I'd have to think that these are what I like to call the one percenters, although they're not even 1% of the industry or the profession, as I like to call it, that are willing to take that extra step to make sure they're doing well. And then after after Monday, I got to do one of my favorite things, and that was mentor all day, every day, from Tuesday morning until I left Friday afternoon. So it was a great show. And, of course, they were checking trucks in the parking lot, and the people from Pittsburgh Power were there. They actually rebuilt a Caterpillar engine right there. I believe it was a Caterpillar engine right there in the lobby of where the CMC was held. It was just a great show. We talked about a lot of things. One of the things that we've never mentioned on this show that I did talk about, I think an awful lot of our listeners, whether they have one truck or five trucks or even 10 trucks, doesn't matter, they are really prone to government audits from every government agency imaginable. And sometimes the very small and the medium-sized businesses get hit the hardest for audits. And the reason for that is every single government agency in this continent, and that's federal, provincial, and state and municipal. They're all broke, and they're looking at us in our profession or our industry as a place to get money, and they send auditors in. And I was telling people how to behave in an audit, and you can't run and hide from these people. It won't work. So make sure everything is in order. It's really important to make sure that all your paperwork is in order, starting from, believe it or not, if you're incorporated or you're an LLC, make sure your minute books are up to date. That's the first thing they look at quite often in an audit. And apparently, that is their signal of good housekeeping or bad housekeeping. And sometimes, if your minute books are in order, then they go to the next litmus test. And they'll keep checking until they find your weak spot. So that's just one of those things in running your business that's so important. Make sure things are in order, starting with your minute books.
That's sage advice, probably something that we all could benefit from, making sure, going back and making sure that we are dotting all our I's and crossing all of our T's. Speaking of which, we spoke a little earlier, and you was telling me about a situation and something that we all need to be aware of, making sure that we are, when it comes down to insurance for our companies. You want to share with everyone what we talked about a little earlier?
I had a real interesting one last week. Somebody I know that I don't really do business with, I just happen to know the family, they called me out of desperation because their insurance company canceled them. And the insurance company, to begin with, was not a truck insurance company. It was a car insurance company that dabbled a little bit in trucks. And they sent their inspector out to their yard. Now, this is a company that hauls steel. And when they inspected their yard, they found that the yard wasn't fenced. And on those grounds, they canceled their policy. Now, this gentleman that I know went and he called a couple of brokers, and he had a couple of brokers quote on the same markets, which you're not supposed to do either. And he kind of got blackballed. And here he was, it was Thursday, I think, last Thursday when he phoned me, and his insurance was expiring on Saturday. And the insurance company, who again was not a trucking insurance company, wasn't about to give him an extension. And all these insurance companies kind of worked together. And I hate to say it, but he got blackballed. And through the relationship I have with our insurance agent, who is a truck insurance agency, that's what they specialize in, he was able to get this company through a Hail Mary pass. Number one, he was able to negotiate with his current provider a 5-day extension, and he was also able to get him insurance with a real trucking insurance company. So the moral of this story is there's two morals here. Number one, go to a truck broker, like a trucking insurance broker, somebody that handles big trucks, lots of them, because they know those markets. And number two, I don't care how good it looks, do not go with a company that does not specialize in big trucks, because those other guys will drop you because they don't understand the market. And I've seen it happen before. If any of these companies have severe losses in a particular market, they will get out of that market. So if you go with a specialty company, somebody that specializes in trucking, they will have the in-depth knowledge to know that they have good times and bad times. And right now, although the trucking industry is having not a bad time, I think some of the insurance companies are having a very awful time, because there's so much pressure out there to put, pardon my language, but bums in seats, that some of the companies are breaking their own rules, and they're hiring drivers that they normally would never touch and putting them behind the wheel, and of course the results are horrendous. And I think anybody that uses the roads knows about that. you know, we're seeing more and more crashes. Crash rates are up, and that's costing all of us on the insurance side. You know, I was talking to some people at the CMC that had, you know, and I'm talking about one truck operators that got raised $5,000 this year. And I'm hearing stories up here in Canada of people getting insurance canceled left and right, especially smaller operators that have bad insurance or bad safety ratings. So it's really important now more than ever to really tighten up the hatches.
Yes, sir. Definitely appreciate that feather being put in our cap. So, you know, just make sure, you know, and I've always been kind of skeptical. I know that some people I think it's Progressive, which is a regular consumer insurance company. And I've even heard of some people saying that they had Geico for insurance. I don't know. I've always been a little skeptical about dealing with them when it comes to a commercial application and making sure that, you know, as far as, like you say, you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed when it comes to insuring your company. Because at the end of the day, like you say, that's you know, if you ain't got the insurance, you're basically out of business. And that cuts off, you know, the lifeblood to be able to do what it is that you need to do to operate your business.
Well, yeah, it's really the undercarriage of your business. And I don't think sometimes people hammer this down strong enough to their drivers, even on safety, because the insurance companies, you know, the first thing they do is, of course, they're looking at how your safety record is as far as crashes. But the second thing they do is they look at your safety rating in general. What are you getting tickets for? Are you getting tickets for speeding? Are you getting tickets for unsafe equipment? They can be very discriminatory now and say, you know what? You don't operate a safe fleet. We're going to raise you 20%. Now, that's a lot of money to have to pay extra for, really, I always say we buy pink slips because in Ontario, I don't know what color they are down in Georgia where you're from, but here our insurance slips are all pink. And at the end of the day, that's what we're buying. Because we all know that if you have a catastrophic crash, they're going to drop you anyways, or they're going to make it so expensive that you're not going to be able to be in business the next week. And that's why you have to run a tight ship.
Right, right, right. Definitely so. So when it comes to just so we might be able to, if you can, I don't know if you can put you on the spot here for a second, Chuck, but what should if someone's wanting to go back and verify that stuff, what should they be looking for? Or do you have any advice when it comes to that?
Yeah, find out first of all, the insurance company that's going to insure your truck, not the broker, but the company. Who else do they insure? What other companies? How many trucks do they insure? How many fleets do they insure? Those are the questions you want to ask. How long have they been insuring trucks? Are trucks a new market for them? If they are, let some big guys play with them because, you know, the big guys can work their way around. They've got alternatives. There's things that they can do that the little guys can't. And especially, you know, if you're – now, I know up in Canada, and I think it's the same in most jurisdictions in the U.S., you have to be 10 trucks or more in order to be a fleet and be recognized by an insurance company as a fleet. And then all of a sudden you get a lot more control over your business and your rates go, you know, they go down accordingly. But if you're not a fleet, then it gets very, very expensive. So that's the first thing. Secondly, your insurance broker, you want to ask him the same question. How many trucking companies does he insure? If this is the same guy that's insuring your motorbike and insuring your boat and your house, you probably don't want him because, you know, if that's the only reason you're going to him. But if he's got a vast business of trucking insurance, because you need these guys, believe me, when, God forbid, something happens at 3 o'clock in the morning, you want to be able to phone your insurance broker so he can get an adjuster out there. If you're, you know, if you're dealing with the, you know, those big companies that insure cars, they're not going to have the commercial insurance adjusters on staff readily the way the truck people are. You know, you just want to go with professionals, especially when it comes to things like this, because you can end your business very, very quickly by not having the proper insurance in place.
Right. And there's an upcoming next month, November, NASDAQ is having their annual convention. You've been to that thing that NASDAQ does, that their national convention that they have every year. Maybe you can get, can you give us a little insight on that thing? And if people are NASDAQ members, maybe advise them on what they got to look forward to at one of those events as well, since we were talking, you know, kind of wrapping up truck show season.
Well, first of all, if you're in this business and you have one truck or more, and I don't care if you have one truck or you have 100 trucks, you really need to belong to NASDAQ. And I got to tell you, the guys at NASDAQ don't give me a nickel or a cup of coffee to say this, but I think that it's a good organization, and what it does a lot of things. Number one, it is a lobby group. There's no two doubts about it. These guys argue on our behalf. They've got a full-time lobbyist in Washington, D.C., who gets up there and speaks every year. They also have a fairly good fuel program. It works for a lot of people. There's some huge cost savings that more than benefits the cost of membership. Then our good friend Hank Seaton is up there every year, and he talks about things that are pertinent to people like us, you know, the smaller operators that are, you know, from one to, well, it doesn't matter. Even if you had 500 trucks, you would still want to hear what Hank has to say, because it's pertinent to anybody that's operating a truck. And then they have one of the other speakers that's there every year that's fascinating is a gentleman named Homer Hogg. And he knows he's actually a mechanic by profession, but now he's on the lecture circuit, and I believe he's with Flying J, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that.
T.A. Petro.
Oh, okay, I knew it. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that. But anyways, Homer Hogg, he explains how diesel particulate filters work and how DEF works, and it's really interesting to hear it. And he's actually, for a guy that's talking technical stuff, he's a captivating speaker. And then, of course, we have the same cast of characters every year that are usually there's an economist, and usually there's somebody from the insurance industry or somebody from fuel tax services. There's legal services. There's all sorts of things where you get to better yourself. And I think one of the other best things, you get to meet people in the trucking profession. You get to meet other operators, whether they have one truck or they have 100 trucks. They're there. They're all there for the same reason. You break the bread together. You sit with them during the lectures, during the programs, and you get to talk to them. You get to learn little tricks. You find out what works well for a guy in the next state. You get to form business relationships where you get to start trading freight back and forth. And maybe you don't have to go to that cheap broker up the road because this guy sitting next to you has freight that he can share with you. There's all sorts of wonderful, wonderful opportunities by going to this show. And it just, and you have the best brokers. So you get to know who pays their bills, who gives great rates. It's just it's a good 3 days. It doesn't take a whole week out of your business. And it's just in Nashville, which is a wonderful city.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to try to pencil it in on my schedule this year. I'm going to try to make sure that I get up that way and make it hopefully this year. I don't have the dates right in front of me, but I know it is coming up here in November.
I do. It actually starts on October 31st, which I believe is the Thursday. And it ends Saturday with a luncheon and a tribute to Driver of the Year. And they do this, I got to tell you something, they do this show at the Driver of the Year. They just started it last year. And one of the gentlemen that owns NASDAQ, it's actually a private company, he has connections, and I think through another business he owns, but he's involved with a a whole mass of country and Western singers and writers in the Nashville area. And last year, he had about 10 of them come up and do a special song written about truckers. And I got to tell you, Rico, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was fantastic.
Is that right?
I'm not going to tell you it was the highlight of my NASDAQ experience, but it was pretty close to it. There were so many highlights that I wouldn't dare pinpoint one. Dan Baker, I don't know how many out there, how many of our listeners have heard him. I know that anybody that's gone to the CMC has heard him. But Dan Baker is a gentleman that was a preacher whose dad was a trucker. And he speaks to the trucking industry. And my God, he is captivating. He really is. He's another one that makes it worth it. But it's a great 3 days. And I think you get benefit from it, or I wouldn't keep going back.
Dan Baker is great. And just to reiterate for everyone, we may have some new listeners, but that NASDAQ Fuel program, I tell you, that is the best thing going right now. When it comes to buying your fuel and getting discounts and saving money on fuel, the discount program that they have through NASDAQ will pay for itself within the first couple of weeks of you getting involved. It'll pay for the membership itself within the first couple of weeks. And I kid you not, the price savings are very, very substantial and significant. So if you get a chance, if you're not involved with NASDAQ right now, you know, give those guys a call, get in contact with them. And we don't make, like I say, Chuck, we don't get one red nickel from them for saying that. We're just trying to pass on the information. So get in touch with those guys. You can go to NASTC.com to probably pull up all of their contact information. And with that being said, without any further ado, if you know, we definitely, like I said at the beginning of the show, we always welcome caller participation. So if you guys got something that you would like to share, you can press number one. We got a few minutes left in the show that we can get to you and take your call. So if you got a question or a comment, we always welcome that. Just press number one. That lets us know that you're in the caller queue, and we will come right to you and get you up and on board so that you can ask your question. And with that said, Chuck, you've been talking about a lot of different stuff. What's new? What did you guys got going on over at Traffics?
Well, our Laredo office is up and running. So that's been going well, and our Denver office is up and running. So things are going pretty good. Everybody's working hard, and I'm seeing, you know, overall business is booming out there. There's a couple of areas where, as we all know, it seems to be a little bit slower. And we have the end of the produce season right now, so. You know, things will get back to normal. Loads from California will start soon, and loads from places like that, the produce growing belts, that'll pick up. And of course, because of the this tariff thing, flatbeds out of Canada it's a little bit slower than what it was prior to the tariffs. But I do want to say that that our government was able to work something out with the U.S. and Mexico, and the free trade agreement is going through. It's going to be called something else, but it's really going to be very similar with a few exceptions. I think that the auto industry up in Canada was spared tariffs, and in turn, we had to give up our dairy industry, which is very different than yours. Ours is all what they like to call controlled management, which is basically like trucking used to be, where you have dairy and poultry in Canada is where they have basically quotas, and they're allowed to produce so much product, and that's it. So it keeps a lid on things, and of course, our prices on both poultry products and on dairy are much higher. So I guess on this USMIC, as they're calling it, the new free trade agreement, they used the dairy industry as the sacrifice. And the good part may be, if there is one, well, certainly milk will be cheaper, and there may be some opportunities for truckers to haul milk into Canada from the U.S. and other dairy products. So every cloud has a silver lining, and, you know, one party wins and one party loses. So, you know, thank God we're, you know, free trade is going to continue the way we know it in most ways, other than perhaps the tariffs on steel and aluminum, which have done some damage, obviously, to the flatbed industry. And it's hurt a little bit down the U.S. as well, because we're seeing flatbed rates are going down every week, and so is the demand, part of that being seasonal.
Right. Well, Chuck, we got someone that does have a question before we get out of here. Let's go and pick up Reggie. Reggie, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, guys. I was calling about the insurance. I think that's actually a really interesting topic, and we kind of overlook it because there's two sides to insurance, and the one being is the self-insured side, which is like your Swifts and your Englands, your Primes, you know, those big, huge mega corporations or carriers. And then there's like the little guys like us that have to go through Progressive or, you know, Great Western or whoever it may be. And I think it's going to be kind of interesting because of the autonomous thing we're talking about a lot and, you know, the benefits of the self-insured and, you know, how those guys are going to benefit, and the future of that insurance thing is going to be kind of interesting, I think. So I kind of wanted to get your comments on that.
Well, Reggie, you know, as far as self-insurance, they may be self-insured or they may belong to something called captives, and that's more what they are. Now, I know that when you hear that these people are self-insured, they are partially, and what happens is a captive is basically like a cooperative, and a bunch of these mega carriers like Prime and Swift and J.B. Hunt, they will all get together and they will work cooperatively and have, basically, they have their own insurance company. And what you can do with insurance is, and they will do it too, is they will insure themselves from, and let's say, and when I say self, a company like Prime, they will pay, let's say, the first $250,000 out of their pocket. So they have a $250,000 deductible. But you have to remember, these are big, huge, big, multi-truck companies. They can afford $250,000 because they've already put that money aside. It's sitting there waiting. It's in a bank account somewhere. It's in a bond that they're willing to cash. So, and then they will go to the captive, usually, which is like a cooperative, bank for anything above that. And that's usually how self-insured works. I do not suggest anybody out there trying this unless they are, unless they're a mega carrier. Now, we've been asked on a couple of occasions at being, 50 trucks, and I think we're 55 right now, to join a captive. And my son Doc and I have talked about it, looked at it, and both of us are not in favor of it. We don't feel that the cost saving is worth the risk at this point. You have to remember that's on 55 trucks, but when you have 5,500 trucks or 10,000 trucks, you're in a totally different league. And I think the best thing you can do, if you want to self-insure at all and you want to save some money, raise your deductible and raise it to $5,000 or $10,000, but make sure you have that $5,000 or $10,000 sitting in a bank account that you don't touch, so that, and you will get an much lower insurance rate by raising your deductible. Are you aware of that?
I actually didn't know that.
Well, sure, because how it works is your insurance company looks at you and they go, okay, well, let's just say you pick $10,000. The insurance company goes, well, Reggie's going to insure the first 10, so we don't have to worry about $10,000, and they will work out a figure on that. And the higher you make your deductible, the lower your insurance becomes.
Okay. No, because I started, and I had insurance was like one of my largest fixed expenses, so I had to really, and that was in like a small market that wasn't paying as well. So I have to really work hard just to cover insurance every month. So I realized right away how valuable and expensive that expense can be.
And how long have you been doing this, Reggie? How many years have you been an owner-operator?
Since 2014.
Okay, so you've had 4 years at it. And what do you remember what you were paying when you started?
Oh, yeah, $1,600 a month for one truck and one trailer.
Okay. Okay, and what are you paying now?
About $862.
Wow. You got a great rate.
But I'm going with one of those big, huge companies, and...
That's okay.
The thing is I worked hard, and I made sure all of my equipment was paid for. So that kind of helps a little bit, I think. So
it does. And what year is your truck?
98.
Yeah, you see that? All that helps because... it helps, but it doesn't, because sometimes insurance companies can get cute and say, well, we don't want to insure anything that is that's that old. You know, it's 20 years old, and we're worried about it safety-wise because maybe it doesn't have disc brakes or whatever. These guys can really – they can write their own deal because they're in control.
Yeah, that's the sad thing about it. But I understand it. I understand. I actually think – you know, if I was an insurer, I would want to have newer equipment, but, you know, insuring newer equipment safer. That's what they do in Japan, so.
Well, you know what? This isn't Japan. This is a really, really unique market. Japan, everything is regulated a lot different. You don't have the freedoms in most countries that you do in the United States.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of freedom in the USA, and the insurance company also looks at it two ways. The big worry for an insurance company is not so much writing off a truck, although they don't like, obviously they don't like to write the check when that happens. They're more worried about liability.
Okay.
So, you know, whether it's a 98 or a 2018, it doesn't really matter to them that much because the difference is, you know, it's $100,000 or so in price. Their big worry is if a truck hits somebody. That's their big worry because that gets into millions of dollars.
Right. No, it is interesting, and that's why I was kind of worried or thinking about the autonomous side of things because, you know, we don't know if that's going to lower insurance or increase insurance, and that's where I was kind of thinking that a self-insured group, as you explained it, kind of has an advantage moving into that market.
Yeah, if you're really big. Yeah, you know, Reggie, one of the things, and Rico and I have talked about this very, very briefly on this show, and I've mentioned it a few times at the CMC in passing, you know, the market is ripe for a cooperative trucking company, and you could do a lot more. You'd get better insurance and cheaper insurance if you had 50 trucks under one banner, and you could do it as a cooperative. From the authority, you'd have to put it together with authority and insurance, and everybody would work cooperatively.
I think that's a kind of an interesting model because of what we're seeing on the regulatory side with the independence and the contracting and that thing, and that just hit the courts today, I think, or sometime soon. They're going to see it in this session anyways, but that cooperative would be a kind of a cool old-school business model. And if there's benefits, it would even be better.
I think there's an awful lot of benefits because now all of a sudden you can go after customers and say, I have 50 trucks rather than I have one truck. And you can cover a lot more ground with 50 trucks than you can one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can go and you can make deals with large brokerage companies. There's all sorts of – and large customers. There's all sorts of things you can do. You can take on more lanes. You can work with, you know, with companies that have several locations in the United States, like manufacturers,
right?
Food manufacturers, things like that.
So what I've kind of noticed is, like, obviously to get to that size, you have to have some financing. And what I've noticed is, like, bankers, they don't really like touching assets that move around and, you know, could be there one day and gone the next. And I was kind of thinking about diversifying and maybe like some smaller properties, you know, something to get some cash rolling, something to back against your endeavors. What do you suggest on like that side to kind of, you know, get some solid financial structure to back against the business? You know,
well, You know, if you real estate's great if you buy it at the right time, in the right place. It'll make you a fortune. And if you buy wrong, it'll kill you. So I can't tell you where to buy, but there's always deals out there. And there's an old expression, buy property when the street is on fire. And so you're better off to buy in a depressed market and hang on.
Okay. No, I was just
don't buy at the top of the, you know, whatever you do, don't buy at the top of the cycle, because what happens is when the cycle busts, your danger is that you're holding a piece of real estate that you paid $500,000 for that is now worth $200,000, and if you have to renegotiate your mortgage, they're going to make you shore it up.
Okay. No, I was just trying to think, because I run into that problem, you know, like, oh, yeah, I have these assets and this asset paid for, and, you know, they're kind of hesitant to, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's a property I would like to, you know, I could trust this backer because he's got a little bit more skin in the game than an unsecured loan.
Well, if you're just operating one truck, Reggie, you know, look at getting some income rental property, perhaps something where there's, you know, a couple of apartments, as long as you're able to look after them for maintenance, or, you know, a storefront, as long as you're in a location that's vibrant, that you don't see going, you know, going downhill. You just have to be careful of retail, obviously, because we're in some uncharted waters with online shopping and things like that. But if you just keep your eyes open and see areas around you or places you go where there's going to be opportunity. You know, and I'll just give an example for any Canadians. I saw on the news last night that Kitimat, British Columbia, they're putting the largest one of the largest natural gas infrastructures ever in North America up in Kitimat. I think they're spending $40 billion to make this. So that would tell me right away, if I was a Canadian and wanted to invest in property in British Columbia, I would look at Kitimat, British Columbia right now, because that's going to be a boom. Now, how long that lasts, I don't know, until natural gas doesn't.
All right, Reggie, we appreciate the phone call. We're getting close to time to wrapping it up. The hour has just kind of flown by. So, Chuck, with that being said, well, before I do that, Chuck, I want to make our listeners that are still on the line and we still have here with us, we are desperately trying to make some more adjustments and some changes to the format of the show. We always are welcoming your feedback, your input. Go to our Facebook page, like us, subscribe to us, give us some suggestions on some different things that you would like for us to try to bring to you and make available for you guys here on the show. You're always welcome to throw out any kind of topics or anything that you would like for us to discuss or like more information about or pertaining to. Drop us a note there on the Facebook page, and we definitely will get those, and we'll try and respond to them, and we'll try our best to make an effort to make sure that we cover those things and highlight those things on the podcast. Now, with that being said and no further ado, Chuck, tell the good people how they can get in contact with you.
Well, you can call me at 800-388-4352, and you need to dial extension 203. If I don't answer, leave a message with a phone number. I call everybody back. It may take me a day or so, but I will call you back. You can always send me an email, chuck@traffics, that's traffix.com, and I'll help you any way I can. It's my way of giving back. I made a conscious effort a couple of years ago that rather than give money to schools and hospitals, I want to give back to the trucking industry and the trucking profession, the people in it, and make everybody successful so you people can donate your money. And that's what I'm doing.
Sounds like a plan, and we definitely appreciate you for taking on and coming on and joining us here, becoming an integral part on the Rates and Lanes podcast. I think we greatly benefit from having you around and your wealth of knowledge that you bring to us and are able to share with us from both aspects of being a both a motor carrier and also being a broker, and that definitely helps us. So definitely, and I don't know if you got a chance to even mention the broker thing, but that's why we give people the opportunity to try to get in contact with you as well, is that you guys move a significant amount of freight. So, you know, definitely take advantage of that. You got a friend in the freight business when it comes to Chuck Snow and the guys and the girls over at Traffix. They do a wonderful job. They're very fair on their rates, and they pay very quickly. I'm speaking from experience.
Thank you. Well, we're number 51 in the Transport Topics Largest Carriers.
There you go. There you go. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get ready to wrap up, get ready to get on up out of here for this evening. Like I said, definitely go over to the Rates and Lanes Facebook page. Drop us a note over there about different topics and things that you would like to hear discussed here in the future. We are going to be I'm going to reach out to Hank Seaton. We're going to definitely try and be re-implementing that segment once a month back to the show with the legal help for transportation law. So if you got questions pertaining to that as well, drop us some information, drop us a note there. We'll try and pass that stuff on over to Hank to get that information over to him. And with that being said, I think we've pretty much dotted all the I's and crossed the T's for this week. We'll try and catch up with you guys same time, same place next week. And with that being said, no further ado, Chuck, you got everything out that you wanted to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm good, Rico. What a great show, and I thank you for everything you do for this show. Really enjoy what you do.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. Good night. Be safe out there. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and we'll talk to you, God willing, same time, same place next week. Good night, and God bless.
Catch you on the flip-flop.